The following program contains heavy spoilers, deep insight, and absolutely no filters. Listener discretion is advised.
Snobs on Film. My name is Arthur, your host, and I am joined by two friends of mine, Isaac and Jahan. And we're going to do this show on a pretty heavy subject. I mean, for me personally, there have been a lot of positive memories that I have associated with this man's work. A few shows ago, we did an episode on Harvey Weinstein, and this hits a little bit more close to home, but we really did want to talk about this out in the open, and it has to do with Bill Cosby. The conviction of the legendary comic and actor delivered a final blow to the status that he's owned in popular culture. I mean, at one point he was referred to as America's dad. Specifically, black pop culture movies that he's done, two of which that really, really I have strong childhood memories about, or the ones that he did with Sidney Poitier, Uptown Saturday Night, and also Let's Do It Again. As the media sifts through the ashes of his the implosion of his legacy, we want to ask, just what do we do with him? What do we do with Bill Cosby now? And how do we come to terms with this part of our cultural past that he inhabits? The Brown Hornet was my first introduction to the concept of a black superhero, for example.
I think part of the difficulty is that the Weinstein stuff is he was a producer, studio, whatever, and he was not the writer. He was not the director. He was not the actor. There's a creative dissonance that you can have, you know, when someone is a producer as opposed to one of the creative or artistic leads.
So he may not represent the film the way that Brad Pitt would represent the film.
So I think that's what makes it slightly easier for us to say, okay, you know what? We'll still watch, you know, all those Miramax or whatever films.
Yeah, Miramax.
From back in the day. And, you know, no issue. We're not going to mess with him in the future. But in the past, we're cool with that. And I think there's a distance there. Whereas when you're talking about the face of something, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And I think that I'm like you, you know, it's funny because the first thing that popped in my mind, everybody kept talking about the Cosby Show. For me, it was Uptown Saturday Night. And the Brown Hornet, you know, it was like, that's like, hold up, like that Bill, like he did this, like he's the one responsible for this. That's what was like, whoa, that's what kind of tripped me out. But what's interesting to me, though, is that I've heard the full spectrum of responses. I've heard everything from a reaction like, why didn't those women come out sooner? This is bogus. Look at what they do on the Bill. I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard all the way to people who are so disgusted with Bill, they won't even say his name anymore. So I've heard like the full spectrum. I think for the black media, by and large, has kind of swept this under the rug. They've covered it, but they don't really talk about Bill.
Yeah.
You know, I think the collective kind of response to this is like, okay, we're just going to forget about him and act like this, much like some of the older generation has done with Trump. If you talk to some elders in our community, they just act like they either complain about him nonstop or they act like he don't exist. They're like, we're just going to wait till 2020. I think with Cosby, some people have decided to just wipe him under the rug and just, you know, excommunicate him. And we're not going to talk about him anymore.
So here's where we are with this now. He was convicted on April 26th for three counts of aggravated sexual assault, a charge which involves a victim who is physically or mentally incapacitated. And he's had over 60 accusers, most of which have talked about that they were drugged by Cosby. He's under house arrest currently, and he's going to be sentenced in late September of this year. I forget his exact age. He's in his 80s. He's says that he's legally blind. Isaac, you just talked about this, you know, the spectrum of the conversation. Cosby had amassed several Emmys, several Golden Globes, and even Grammys over his career. He was even awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2002. But even part and parcel to that, most of the 70 honorary degrees that he's received over the years, most of them have been rescinded, including his Kennedy Center honor from 1998. So this has been, I mean, this is just a huge fallout because the man is effectively an institution.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody give back any money?
Hell no. Because I was about to get to that. You know, he and his wife Camille.
So before we continue, what is the question? When we say, what are we going to do with him? What do you mean?
For me, it's about what we're going to do with his legacy. The jail part, obviously, that's not up to us. And I think that what's happened so far bears is the result of his own actions. You know, he was convicted. He probably is going to go to jail. I'm sure he's just waiting for sentencing. Right?
Yeah, he's waiting for sentencing.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, we can get into this part of the conversation if we want to. I think he's a sick dude. I think something is not just what he did, the way he did it. It's like there in the length of time that we're talking about, the number of women that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. If this was just one woman, it would have been a crime. But when you add on to the fact that I believe he was accused by 60 women, and that's, you know, who knows how many others who didn't come forward.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're talking mm-hmm. about there's a sickness there, you know, a predatory sickness that is some of the craziest shit I've ever heard. So that's, you know, that's that piece of it. But as far as I think what we're talking about here is that, what do we do with the legacy? Because we, like Arthur just said, we've had this conversation around other artists who've been accused of things and been found guilty of things. What do we do with their legacies in the cultural space, in the cultural sphere? I was joking a minute ago when I said, had anybody given back any money? Because I knew they didn't, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm.
But how do you get back a building? How do you get back
exactly,
a science lab or something?
I guess the more appropriate question would be, is anything that's been named after him been renamed by, because I'm sure he has a building named after him in Spelman, I believe. I mean, I have no idea. I'm just assuming with the amount of money that they gave, something has been named after him. Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting to see if someone outside, someone within the Black cultural space has renamed something or, you know, rescinded something in that mm-hmm. manner. That would be interesting.
Can we break down the mechanics of what you're talking about? Like,
yeah,
if you give back money, if a university gives back, what's the consequence of that? It's not just, I'm assuming that money isn't just sitting in an account somewhere generating interest.
Right.
I'm assuming that money has been used to educate, to
That was really just an aside. I think the main question is, what do we do emotionally?
No. I think it's a good question.
Because it's one thing to give back an honorary degree, right? How do you give back a wing? How do you give back?
Should you say, I think Berklee, for example, is Berklee College of Music in Boston is no longer offering a Bill Cosby scholarship. Now, I don't know what that means I don't know if that means they've simply changed the scholarship title. I don't know if that means they've given back money that he had given them in order for them to give Bill Cosby scholarships to students, to pay for collegiate education for students. I don't know what that means, but what should it mean to you guys?
In my opinion, I think that, like I said, you should definitely, if something has been named after him, that should be changed. But
agreed.
To me, this needs to be across the board. So this is the hypocrisy that we're dealing with
But I guess the main question here, the obvious question here, just cutting right to the chase, should universities, charities, should they stop using his money? My feeling is they should not.
More to the point, though, I think it doesn't really matter where the money came from if at the point that you took it, you didn't know it came from a nefarious source. For instance, if a, you know, drug cartel donated, you know, X amount of dollars to NYU, I'm sure they're not going to take that money, you know, if they know where it's coming from at the source.
Agreed.
Maybe they would. I don't know.
No, I agree.
I don't want to make any rapid assumptions here. Maybe they would.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
But yeah. I think overall, though, I think that, again, this, and you know, not to get off on a sidetrack, but I do think that things should be renamed, but it needs to be across the board. We celebrate Columbus Day every year, even though we know he was a murderer and a genocidal maniac. We know this, but we celebrate Columbus every day.
Keep the status quo.
Keep the status quo. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, we should go across the board and stop celebrating and naming things after, or go ahead and rename things that are named after criminals or people of that ilk.
But is it a valid reason to say we haven't corrected this ill, so we should forget about correcting this ill also?
I think that some people would make that argument. I think that some people would say, hey, if you're going to, they would probably say a variation of what I just said. If you're going to rename something that Bill Cosby's name is on, then you need to do that for this. If we're in the South, you need to take this Confederate person's name off of this building, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah.
Let me interject this. In late 2014, Spelman College, the institution, distanced itself from the Cosbys. They suspended indefinitely the William and Camille Olivia Hanks Cosby Endowed Professorship. The prestigious, I'm reading from a USA Today article written by Ann Oldenburg from December the 15th of 2014. She's quoting a statement from Spelman College, the spokesman being Audrey Arthur, no relation to me. The William and Camille Olivia Hanks Cosby Endowed Professorship was established to bring positive attention and accomplished visiting scholars to Spelman College in order to enhance our intellectual, cultural, and creative life. The current context prevents us from continuing to meet these objectives fully. Consequently, we will suspend the program until such time that the original goals can be met. Now, presumably, it's still suspended because this was
3 years
over
ago.
3 years before he was convicted. Mm-hmm. So here is an example of something, you know, being pulled back from the institution, but it's not a physical space.
Yeah, what they could do is either bring it back just under Camille's name, which I think is cool. And if there's anything, if there's been any foundations started, I can't remember his son's name, the one who was killed.
Ennis Cosby.
Yeah, if there's anything under his name, then that should be left standing because, you know, that's, you know, even though it was started with by Bill and his wife, if it's in his son's name, his son is an innocent bystander in this, and his memory shouldn't be degraded because of what his father did.
Right.
Let me ask you guys, though, the hard question. Well, you know what? I'll get to that. Let's get back to the original intent is that, you know, John, you did a good job of narrowing in on what we're trying to get after as far as what do we personally do. And it is very difficult when you're talking about an artist as opposed to, say, a business person behind a brand, like a Weinstein. With Bill's, you know, I think the Cosby Show has been taken off the air. I think it's no longer in syndication.
Mm-hmm.
See, the difficulty is that you're not just dealing with, this isn't a musician putting out an album under his name, or a, you know, stand-up comic doing, you know, solo shows. These are ensemble things. So it's called The Cosby Show. Bill is like the, you know, the lead character, if you will. But then you have Felicia Rashad, mm-hmm. Malcolm Jamal Warner. You have all these, Lisa Bonet.
Tempest Bledsoe.
Right. That show was about them as much as it was about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the difficulty in it, let's be honest, you can't watch that show now, and anytime he comes on screen, you can't tell me that you're not going to be thinking about these 60 women that, you know, that made these allegations. Mm-hmm. Against him. It's just automatic. It's going to pop in your head.
Yeah, because many of these allegations were made during the span
right.
of the show.
You're going to think about,
years.
Wow, when he wasn't doing this, he was doing that crazy shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. that, to me, again, I think, like John was about to say a minute ago, or mention, is that right? I think there's an argument to be made that, yeah, you should be able to enjoy that, still be able to enjoy that show. But for me personally, it would be very difficult, you know, to watch that without thinking about the other thing. You know, we always want to say we can separate art from the artist, but I think there's a limit on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be able to watch it either. My question is more for the people who may depend on it airing for their livelihood. I don't know if that is the case, but...
Well, yeah, people down the line, you know, down the line, the production line, mm-hmm. not talking
the
about
writers,
the main stars.
People
yeah.
like that.
Even not even the writers. I'm talking about anybody who gets residuals from that show.
Right.
You know, that's
directly
a blow.
Affected by
that's
that.
That's a blow, yeah.
And a lot of those people aren't, you know, like, for example, Malcolm Jamal Warner or Lisa Bonet with other abilities to, you know, make money or have made money, etc. A lot of these people, unless maybe this is all they've got, right? Or this is one of the things that they do rely on.
Absolutely. I mean, again, the Cosby Show, you know, that's, again, I don't know if I could watch that again, but I could definitely, it's funny, again, how separation works. I could watch Fat Albert.
Because
you could watch A Different World, right?
I could watch A Different World.
Because there's an abstraction.
Right. I could even watch probably, man, I could watch a piece of the action only because of Sidney Poitier.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Poitier's, how do you say, gravitas and elegance and just decency. It's like he brings so much to the table.
He offsets the balance.
He offsets. Like, this rapist motherfucker sitting over here, you know what I'm saying? It's like, to a certain degree, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I may be able to talk myself into it in that regard.
Yeah.
But it's hard, man. It's hard.
I just looked up. I think it is actually back on TV.
Oh, is it?
I know it was taken off of Hulu.
TV One. Have you heard of that? It's an American digital cable.
Yeah, that's a black focus. I don't know if it's black owned, but it's, the content is black focused.
So according to Wikipedia, it began airing reruns of the show in May 2017, and according to Wikipedia, continues to do so.
Now, that brings up an interesting question. This is going to be a very uncomfortable and maybe a controversial question, but I think it needs to be asked. TV One is airing that show. They are focused. Their target group is African Americans. Would the response from the black community be different had these 60 women been majority black women?
No.
Let's put it like this. We know the majority of women that have accused him of this. I don't know. I think the three, because how many, he got convicted of what, three counts?
Three counts.
Right. But I'm saying the majority of women that accused him, if you look at that now somewhat iconic cover of New York Magazine from July of 2015, which had the image of just women sitting in chairs, and then it continued inside the magazine. All these women who are accusing him of this, of sexual misconduct,
right,
and various other charges, the majority were not black. My question is that, do you think the response from the black community would have been different had these been all black women?
My guess would be no. There was like a smattering of commentary saying, oh, he was trying to buy NBC and it's all just trying to bring him down, la, 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 all that kind of stuff. Despite a very small smattering of people saying that, very small, the vast majority of people I saw were condemning what he had done. And this is before the verdict. And even that the legacy, they didn't seem to be, oh, well, no, hold on now, you're going too far now. They didn't seem to be any of that when they pulled the show off the air.
I mean, I'll say this, if there wouldn't be however many women on there on the cover of New York, they wouldn't have all been black. Like if all the women were black, we wouldn't have a New York Magazine cover.
Right. So let's say this was
That's a different point. Just like R. Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Right,
Bring
that out. That's a different point. But let me ask you this, though. Because, do you guys really feel that the black media has condemned him to the extent that the mainstream media has? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I've seen criticism of him by black writers. I've seen criticism of him by some black publications, you know, not black owned, but targeted towards black people. I haven't seen the wholesale condemnation of him as I've seen in the mainstream press.
Okay, well, two of the networks that pulled The Cosby Show, one was BET, one was Magic Johnson's.
Right, but now he's back on TV One, which is targeted at black people. If you're going to condemn somebody, then you're not going to air their program, period.
Okay, that
you're not
going to
air
station,
anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to promote something that someone did, even if it's going to make you money, if you're condemning them. If you're willing to kind of slide it under the rug and say, well, yeah, he's guilty of this, but hey, go ahead and put that on the air, then you're not condemning them.
But I've given you two examples of black TV networks that have pulled it. So we've got one example of...
Which ones? You said the Magic what?
Magic and BET.
Isn't BET...
It's owned by Viacom.
Who owns TV One? I think they own... Doesn't Viacom own TV One as well?
So TV One is owned by Urban One.
Who owns Urban One?
It's a public company.
Hmm. So to your point though, Arthur, do you think that, let's say this was the cover, let's say this was Essence magazine.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I mean, can you imagine the impact of this being Essence magazine with nothing but black women? My prediction is that the outcry that we've heard so far would have been quadruple. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to suggest at all that the black community is okay with the raping of white women. I'm not suggesting that at all. What I am suggesting, though, is that it hits closer to home when it would hit closer to home for black people if these were all black women. I think it would hit closer to home for them.
It would. But even still.
Is that fair?
That's fair. But I'm saying in the Essence scenario, the story would be about Camille Cosby.
And the impact on her.
There you go.
The mainstream hasn't.
Which isn't wrong to do. But I'm just saying.
I think it's actually right to do.
Yeah. But I'm saying the angle wouldn't have been. The angle would not have been the however many all black women that were victimized. It would be the one black woman, the matriarch.
And the impact on her. Which raises the question, though.
Which would sell more Essence magazines.
Which raises the question, though, why hasn't the mainstream. Obviously, she's not going on record or anything.
Right.
But I haven't seen any stories about Camille.
I haven't either.
Which is also an interesting point. Why have we not? Are they condemning her as well?
I think.
Saying you knew about this?
I would think it has more to do with her reluctance to even talk about it than it would be the interest.
You don't need her to talk, though, to do a piece on her.
Fair. That's fair.
I haven't seen a huge amount of condemnation for her. And I think people do feel sorry for her, you know, like maybe she didn't know. Maybe she, you know, is, you know, this can't be easy for her. If she didn't know, you know, our hearts should go out to her if she didn't know, right?
Yeah. And I mean, this is a pure 1000% speculation, but you know, even if she did know, she wouldn't be the first wife to know that she has a philandering husband and, you know, tolerate
philandering, and then there's.
Well, I get what you're saying. Whoa. Let me finish. Hold on. I know you're new into the barbershop, but hold on. What I'm saying is, the extent of it, she may not have been aware of. But at the bottom line,
she knew he was sleeping around.
She's not the first wife that's aware that she's a victim and nonetheless stays with the husband.
Right.
So you're saying she may have known that he was doing something outside of home, but she didn't necessarily know that it was some criminal ass crazy shit, right?
Correct.
And maybe that's true.
That's speculation in order to inject my comment, my view into the point that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I mentioned those two, you know, opposite reactions on each end of that spectrum earlier. They doing Bill wrong. They should have came out early reaction.
Yeah.
Then I mentioned the other reaction. Right. Where it's just like silence. We won't even talk about him.
Right.
I think within our community, each one of those reactions is made easier to, it's made, those reactions are kind of like a side effect of the fact that these aren't all black women.
Mm-hmm.
Had they been black women, I think it would make it, each one of those arguments harder for those people arguing them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with either one of those arguments,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think the people who hold those arguments, because there's almost a silence now. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the medium between those two extremes has been this quiet.
Yeah.
Kind of like he got convicted. Because it was on CNN. I remember I actually walked into the barbershop and they were watching it on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that day was like, you know, kind of wild. It's like, oh, shit, you know, he got convicted, whatever, whatever. Then after that, it kind of quieted down. Like nobody's talking. The next thing, everybody's talking about LeBron in the finals, mm-hmm. you know.
That could be down to something else, though, bro. That could be down to
absolutely,
new,
absolutely.
This but is for not the purpose, a new thing now, right?
No, absolutely. This for the purposes of this conversations, I feel that what we're doing here, I don't think that other people are doing. I don't think anybody's really saying what are we going to do with his legacy.
Yeah,
they've just kind of quietly said, kind of swept it under the rug, like Bill is gone. I'm saying it's almost like Bill's gone. Mm-hmm. Like that was, you know, we just won't talk about that, and that's not healthy.
Hasn't it already been answered though? The show has been taken off the air multiple times. Now you've got one network that's put it back on. Most of his honorary degrees have been rescinded. Did they not even pass legislation to revoke his Medal of Freedom? I think they did pass legislation to do that. So, in terms of what are we going to do, hasn't it already been done?
No, because I think all those things you mentioned are legislation, legalities.
So you're asking how we as a people...
Exactly. We're talking about an emotional thing.
How
we're talking
about therapy, cultural, really. Cultural
yeah,
consumers.
That's exactly. We're talking right, about okay, culture. We're not right, talking about, okay, you know, okay. medals of freedom and blah, blah.
Responsible
of,
reaction.
At the end of the day, does, at the end of the day, we don't put too much stock into that shit. You know what I'm saying? We put stock right, into where right, right, right. The space that he occupies in our hearts, just like any other artist. So to your point, Arthur, that you said earlier, I think where do we, what do we do with him in that space? That's a question I think is going to be an answer on the individual level. And I think that's what all these things come down to. I think we would like to have some type of collective answer, but I don't believe that. I think that it always comes down to the individual, just like it comes down to that with every other artist who has let us down in some way. Mm-hmm.
The individual and also the severity of the crime. Right,
that's what I was about to say. This is an extreme letdown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This ain't... Yeah.
If people haven't been hurt, number one, it's easier to turn a blind eye to that.
Right. I think long time ago on, as Arthur would say, our sister podcast, The Music Snobs, we had a conversation about ghostwriting. You know, and I forget which artist we were talking about, but it was very, there was a line clearly drawn in the sand between which one of us would accept, you know, finding out the ex rapper had his stuff ghostwritten versus who wouldn't care. And I think Arthur and Scoop were on the side of it's all good. Right. And John and I were on the side of hell nah, we're done with them. Mm-hmm. That's one crime that you find. It's like, you know, that would let you down.
Yeah.
This is some whole other shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This is like, wait a minute, what? This is that, you know, completely, this is a shift that I think deserves discussion. So that's why I feel like it's not good. It's not healthy for even, like I said, I think it comes down to an individual level, but even as a collective, culturally, I don't think it's healthy to just kind of like throw a couple of memes around on Instagram or Twitter, laugh about it, ha ha ha, and then we don't talk about it ever again. It's like, and to be honest, isn't there some precedence for this within Black culture, within Black families? It's like he's that dude, that cousin.
We just don't talk about him. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like he did X, Y, Z. Yeah,
the uncle in the other room or whatever.
Right. Like we just don't talk about him. Somebody brings his food up to him in his room. He never left his room. They bring his food up, but we don't really talk about him.
Right.
So there's some
why he's that way.
Yeah, why he's that way. So maybe there's some, if we do talk about this, maybe there's some, and I'm not by any means a psychologist, but if we do talk about this, maybe this helps some shit like this not happen for somebody.
You know, if we do talk about it, maybe it's forces us to have to accept other realities that we don't really want to accept.
Like what? You talking about with other celebrities or?
Yeah. Yeah, because we holding on to R. Kelly.
I was going to wait till you said somebody's name. Didn't they take his music off Spotify for a minute?
For a minute.
Okay.
But in some very specific context.
And bizarrely. And yeah, so what Spotify did was they didn't take the music off Spotify. They took the music off playlists on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and,
what it was.
And they had a rule that was appallingly drafted. Like, no lawyer looked at that, I tell you. And it was basically about hateful content and I suppose hateful creators or whatever. And it was like really vague. Mm-hmm. Nothing was defined. And the minute I saw it, I actually texted Karen Gabe, who appeared on the first show we had on Snobs on Film, where we were talking about Weinstein and the fallout of these allegations. I texted her and I was like, well, how is this going to work? And both of us were like, yeah, this is, they haven't approached this well. You know, they're trying to do the right thing, but the execution is just lacking. But anyway, they took his music off those playlists. So I admire them for taking action, but they actually put it back on. And I think they issued some kind of apology for saying that the policy was bad and we should definitely try to do something, but not necessarily this. And the real cherry on top irony here is that R. Kelly's streaming numbers went up when the tracks were taken off the playlists.
But to that point though, Jay, let me ask you and you too, Arthur, because you brought this up originally. Bill Cosby was called, what'd you say, America's Dad.
Yeah,
which is wild to me. That was in the 80s.
Yeah,
that's wild to me.
That the height, he wrote a book called Fatherhood that was published, I believe, in 1986.
That's wild to me because in this country, it's wild to hear that. You know, that label would be given to a Black man. Mm-hmm. That's and that's contributes to his legacy, I guess. But My question is that with R. Kelly and even Michael Jackson, yeah, or mm-hmm, name mm-hmm, some of the Roman Polanski, Elvis, right, whoever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Woody Allen,
mm-hmm, these ain't father figures. You know what I'm saying? No, we never looked at them as like, that's our
right,
dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what makes Bill different.
Yeah.
It's like,
and also, these guys aren't, you know, the people you're mentioning, with the exception of Mike, the people you're mentioning, they, to most people, they're nowhere near as famous.
No, as, well, maybe Woody Allen,
Cosby.
Well, I mentioned so, Elvis Presley too, though.
Yeah, but like in 2018, I reckon most people certainly under 30 probably know the name Roman Polanski because of this, rather than knowing him as a director of Rosemary's.
But this is next right, level. Right. But I mean, this is like if Oprah, you know, if Oprah was found to be a serial killer.
That is a brilliant analogy. If Oprah was found to be
this nefarious,
don't even say drug dealer. If Oprah was found to have molested children,
mm-hmm, I said serial killer.
Serial killer.
I mean, I'm taking it
in
out
a weird
there,
in a weird know? Way. Serial killer, and this is indicative of our community and our culture. Serial killer would be easier to condemn. I think people would have no problem condemning serial people. You know, that would be easy for people. Like, oh, that's, you know, she's done. So I think that's a really interesting point. What if this was Oprah? I think ultimately we've all been put into the place of like, we're all a bunch of Theos right now.
Mm.
In Theos? The context, Theos.
Okay.
Theo Huxtables. Uh-huh. In the context of the Cosby Show, if Theo would have found out that Cliff Huxtable was a rapist,
yeah,
how would he have felt?
Mm.
That's how we all feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is the dude.
I mean, I love it, but why Theo?
Because Theo, in the first episode versus of the Cosby Denise Show, or... and I'm going to miss something. I'm not a big Cosby Show head. Like I said, to me, his earlier stuff and the Fat Albert stuff is what stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not a huge Cosby Show fan, but mm-hmm, I watched it just like everybody else from time to time. And I remember in the very first episode was when he sat Theo down,
yep,
and broke down, you know, look, this is how much life costs. And Theo was like, he broke down to the toilet paper.
He gave him the money and then he took it back.
Right. And Theo was like, I got to buy toilet paper. And he's like, yes, yeah, right, you have to buy toilet paper. At that point is when he started becoming quote unquote America's dad. And mm-hmm, so that's what I'm saying. If you found out that dude
mm-hmm,
was a serial rapist, you know, how would Theo feel? And that's how I think that he would either do one or two things. He would probably go through a lot of things, but he may make the mistake of what I think culturally a lot of us are doing now and just not talking about it.
Maybe a lot of people aren't talking about it because it is open and shut. This dude did some horrific, horrific shit. What more is there to do? And I'm asking not actually in a challenge. I'm asking because I think you may be right. I genuinely don't know the answer.
You know, here's kind of what made it easier, a little bit easier for me to detach, mm-hmm, you know, from Bill. I'm gonna be honest about this. Is that Bill spent a large part, when am I say a large part, but Bill spent time over the last, I would say maybe 20 years, waving his finger at Black America,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
young Black America,
right?
That was happening, I kind of distanced myself.
He's ultra conservative, right? He held himself out to be
right
politically in terms of how one should live, how one should behave.
Right.
He held himself out to be ultra conservative.
That's a good point to bring up.
Right, and became kind of this representation of the Black class that the rest of you Negroes, you know, need to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using Negro. I'm using that word instead of the other word, which is what I believe that he probably, you know, not maybe not him, but that was the mm-hmm feeling that,
mm-hmm,
you know, pointing down to the impoverished class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are not respectable. You're not this. You're not that. You need to be aspiring to this.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, I think he made the mistake of, which a lot of people who have those views do, of saying, if you did this, a lot of your problems would go away.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
He became one of those Black folks. And to me, that was part of, you know, that was like, I'm through with you. This preceded all these allegations. Sure. I didn't know anything about this.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember it made it easier.
For me,
you'd already ditched him in a way.
I'd already ditched him. And also, let's keep it real. Karma's karma. When I saw all these things happening, and mm-hmm, I saw the road that is going down,
mm-hmm,
and then I saw initially, because there was some support for him initially from the black community, remember?
Yeah.
Before it became glaringly obvious of what he had actually done, there was some support.
Some people still believe that, though.
Yeah, wow. But yeah, you're right. But for me, there was some support there. But I saw where this was going. And I was kind of like, karma is a motherfucker. Like, this is, you know, this is part of what you get, you know, for waving your finger that way. So I get what you're saying, Arthur. Yeah, this, it did, you know, there is that feeling of what can I do with this dude? You know, what can I do with that legacy? What can I do with what he meant to me? Blah, blah, blah. But I, for me, it made it easier because I had already kind of distanced myself from him and what he, you know, what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
It's on you, Sydney.
Right.
It's on Sydney Poitier.
Right, don't, man, please.
Don't fuck up.
We can be found online, snobsonfilm.com. Our Twitter handle is also snobsonfilm. We have a really, really good Instagram page that is managed by Jahan. And Isaac, you weigh in on that page a lot too, don't you?
Isaac's been doing it way more than I have.
Really. Is that right? I got to get into it. I got to get into it.
I zoned out. What are we talking
he's,
about?
He's been keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Which one? You talking about the IG page?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got to get on that. Thanks, everybody. See you next show. Are the same. We are the cannon fodder. Oh, nobody knows who the enemy is, 'cause he never goes in hiding. He's slitting our throats right in front of our eyes while we pull the casket he's riding. Better get it together.
Is Bill Cosby the worst? Is he the worst offender? I mean, I think he is, right? I can't think of
anybody else has had this many that's not only attacked, but this number of women.
Right, correct.
Nah, nothing short of a serial killer, and I don't think we have any serial killers.
No. Not that we, not
I mean, Oprah's manifest. Paying off the right people, so. We've got to cut that out.
And we have an outtake.
No, why you guys keep...